Okay, we're recording. So officially welcome everyone to this mentor call with Lena West. Now, Lena, this is her second time in the Gentle Business Mastermind. She was with us last year and you actually did a second video as well, didn't you? You took follow-up questions from people who listened to the recording. So we've heard of Lena a little bit, and I know some of those who didn't make it to that call have listened back, Lena, to the call. So we do have a couple of pre-submitted questions that followed up on after having listened to that call. So we'll spring those in when we get a chance. Now, I will ask Lena to intro herself to you shortly, but from me, I'm really excited. I invite Lena to all the things because I think Lena's incredible. She's my business coach and strategist. And I was saying to someone in the group who, when they listened back to the call, said something like, "Oh, Lena, you blew my mind." And I said, "That's what Lena does every time I have a call with her." It's like every time you throw a spanner in the works of something I haven't thought about, and we look at things from a different angle. So this is an excellent chance for you all to ask Lena any questions that you might have about your business. She's coached thousands, I think, of people now from different industries. So this is a great chance. So any question that you have, please pop it in there. We've got 60 minutes. So ask the question as soon as you can. I've got a few myself that'll get us started and warm us up. And as I said, I've got, I think, about four pre-submitted questions now that have come through too. So the sooner I know your questions, the better I can manage this time together. Now, is there anything else? I'm just looking at my notes that I need to tell you all. I don't think so. So maybe, Lena, to get us started, can you tell us a little bit about what you do and what you're passionate about? And that might help for those who aren't familiar with your work, set them up and spark some questions for you. Oh, I've got you muted, I think. Hang on.
I've got myself muted, I think. I didn't want to make any background noise during your housekeeping. So
now I've got background noise. I'll mute myself.
There you go. So hello everyone, I am Lena West and I am a business coach for entrepreneurs who want to do things differently and who are tired of the status quo and the same old, same old. I've been doing this for 15 years now, and I just also would like to say, because I think it's important to say, this is all I've ever really done. I've never had another, proper job, if you will, working for anyone else. And I also want to add in, I do not come from a rich family. I do not have a rich husband. I did not win an inheritance. I did not win any sort of lottery or windfall. Everything that I have is self-created. And I share that with you because it's important for you to know that that's possible. We're going to get into this a little bit possibly later, but I'm a truth teller and I call it like I see it. And there's a lot of things that happen online where people are masquerading their business success as their business success. And really, it's a rich husband or a family member or a rich partner or such. And I think that's a load of crap. I call BS on that. And so I want to be completely transparent with you and let you know that I don't have a problem with any of those things, certainly, but that was not my circumstance. And again, I say this because if I can do this, you can as well. I've got my own special sauce, as we all do have our own special sauce, but I don't have any ninja secrets or anything like that. I'm a business coach. I lean heavily into the marketing angle and also on the side of business models. But essentially what I do is, once you know what you want to do and who you want to serve, I am the person that helps you to build a business that loves you back. Because so often we love our businesses and we put all of our all into our businesses, and then that business doesn't love us back in whatever form that might look like. Sometimes that looks like not enough money. Sometimes that looks like not enough credit or visibility, because, you know, ego is important, and, you know, you don't want it running the show, but we do want to be acknowledged, and we do want more than simply money for our work. And so what I do is I help you to figure out what is your own brand of CEO. Everyone, unfortunately, CEO has come to mean rich, white, male, corporate. And I am so not here for that definition, because I'm probably the exact opposite of that. I am, well, I got a little bit of money, but I am neither white nor male nor corporate. And I'm as far from it as you could get. I think the association with the word CEO needs to shift and change. And we all are a version of our own CEO. And so I help you to find out what is that, and then how do you build a business that loves you back so that you can free yourself up to support other people and do the work that you were meant to do in this world. And so that's me, and that's what I do. I'm also an introvert and an HSP and an empath, and I'm highly intuitive on the psychic side of things. My specific gift is claircognizance. And so that's me.
Powerful combo.
Here I am.
So I hope that sparks some questions with people, but even if it doesn't, I think I have about 15 here. So even though I talk to you all the time, I never run out of questions. So
yeah. So if anyone has questions straight on, feel free. The worst thing that I want to be is a talking head, because this time is for you. Feel free to just jump in with any questions that you might have. Again, you know, I've been doing this for 15 years, so I have seen every possible scenario almost, and I have possibly seen or experienced every possible emotion, ranging from, oh my gosh, I know in my cells that this is not the truth, but why do I still feel this way? You know, sometimes we have those things as entrepreneurs, so.
Fantastic. Feel free and to you've interrupt. Seen a lot of different business models too, so.
Yeah.
Regardless of the model. Oh, hang on,
here's a question. How do I see things playing out in the online world that are misleading, unhelpful, dangerous to those starting out? And what do you suggest instead? I am so glad. First of all, come through, Ellen. Thank you. I love you. I'm so glad that you asked this question, because this is where the rubber meets the road. And this is where I draw a hard line. I am an introvert. Seriously, unless I'm around my people, and people I really resonate with, all things being equal, I'd rather be by myself. I specifically avoid my neighbors when I'm taking out the recycling. If they're out there and I see them before I leave the door, I'm kind of like, I'll just stand there in the foyer until they leave. And then I'm like, okay, it's safe to go out now. And it's not that I dislike them, but like, that's who I am, right? So I'm definitely an introvert, and I, as a result of who I am, I tend to attract those types of clients, the HSPs, the introverts, the empaths, the psychics, the intuitives, etc., on and on. And this is where the world needs us, in short story, right? This is where we have to figure out where is our line in the sand as an introvert, as a sensitive, as an empath. And we have to, I don't want to say push ourselves, because I don't believe in that, but stretch ourselves right up to that line, because the world needs us. If the world were to see enough of us and hear from us enough, and again, we don't have to do this individually. If we can do this collectively, if there is enough of a shout from each of us who are doing the right things and not doing misleading, harmful activities and business practices, if they hear from us enough, then there's no room for the other nonsense. So the big picture, my kind of altruistic answer to that, Ellen, is we got to get better at being on our game, y'all, myself included. You know, we've got to be there and we have to be visible because people need us and people need our help, and charlatans are striking up their websites every single day. They're starting their websites every single day. Every single day, somebody who doesn't know what they're doing, who doesn't care about other people, who doesn't want to be in service of other people, they're sparking up a new Instagram account. And the big picture requires us to step up and step in. So the big picture is, how do I see things playing out? You know, it's like the beginning of one of my favorite albums in the world, Black on Both Sides by Mos Def. And he talks about when people ask him, well, where do you think hip hop is going? Hip hop music, where do you think it's going? I think this industry is going wherever we're going. I think this industry is headed wherever we're headed. Wherever the light bringers and the light workers and the people who are doing positive practices, it's headed where we're headed because we make the difference. The thing is, we had a stretch there where negativity had a stronghold, right? So harmful business practices had a stronghold. And why? Because we need to step up and step in and have even a louder collective voice. And when we do that, there's no room for anything else. There's no room for anything other than light, because what we know is darkness does not get rid of the light. The light goes into the darkness and opens up the view and lets us see into all of the little dirty corners and lets us see exactly what's going on. And I'm saying if each of us were to just, we don't even have to shine our light. I'm just saying, please press the on button, y'all. If you would just press the power button, it would drown out everything else. So I believe that this industry is going wherever we're going. And if we are doing the equivalent in our businesses of standing in the foyer and waiting for our neighbors to pass by before we bring out our recycling, if we're doing that equivalent in our business, then that's where this industry is headed. That's where the online world is headed. That's where the online business world is headed. If we decide, you know what, I don't care who's out at the trash bin, at the recycle bin, I may not have a conversation with you, but I will walk my items to the curb. If we have the courage to do that, things will change, and things are changing. I see people talking about it. I threw down the gauntlet last year in July because I just personally was sick of it. And I changed my business model. I'm in the process of shifting my own business model this year as a result. I started having very amazing conversations with other people and talking about this exact same topic. And people realized, a lot of people that I'm in their orbit and they're in my orbit, when they saw my post last year, they were like, holy crap, yeah, this is something that I could do better on myself in my business. And I even recognized within myself that my own business model was kind of upholding completely unconsciously and not on purpose, unintentionally, was like upholding some patriarchal hierarchies and things like that. And I was like, okay, so now that I see this, I can't unsee it and things have to change. So, you know, that's my long-winded answer of where are we going? Wherever we're going, wherever the light workers are going, that's where this industry is going. Courage, a word that keeps popping up for me. Yeah, I was talking to someone on Instagram earlier, a friend of mine, Rebecca Ching, and we were talking about, she was talking about the word overcome, and I said, yeah, that word strikes me like the word fearless. To me, it doesn't exist. You're never fearless. If someone says they're fearless, either they're just like lying to you outright, or they're not tapped in and grounded enough to realize that they're scared as hell and they're taking the action anyway. You're either in alignment and you've learned how to deal with and navigate and manage your fear, or it's navigating and managing and taking over you. It's either one, right? There's no such thing as fearless. You've either learned how to navigate and manage your fear or not, but no one is fearless. And to me, a better word is courage. You know, if we could just each have the courage to do that next thing, the thing that we're afraid of. And you know what? Build in support. There is nothing wrong with There is nothing exactly fear less, not fear as opposed to fear more. I love that. Yes and yes and yes. There's nothing wrong with setting yourself up for success. So if you think like, wow, I'm about to really go all in and write this post on Facebook or Instagram, and I need some love to protect my confidence. Because as entrepreneurs, as CEOs, we have to protect our confidence. We do everything from confidence. And so we must protect it at every single turn and at every single angle. There's nothing wrong with you reaching out to 3, 4, 5, 7, 9, 12 of your business besties and saying, hey, y'all, I'm about to write this post. And would you go there and give me some love? When you see it go live, or I'm going to come back here and post the link. When you see it, can you like it? Can you comment? Can you share it? Can you show me some love so this gets some traction about your really important posts, your seminal pieces that you really want to get out there in the world? Guys, that's not cheating. There's nothing wrong with doing that. It's setting yourself up for success. It's asking for what you want. And if you want the support, ask for it. You don't have to ask strangers. Ask people you trust.
This has got me thinking a little bit as well around, I know you talk a bit about bro culture and also, yes, as you were saying earlier around reimagining what CEO means for you. And we had a pre-submitted question around the CEO concept, which I think you might be able to talk on a little bit at this point. It was from someone who's starting their business. They're in the process of planning and getting it started. And she asked whether you have any suggestions for taking a CEO approach to planning and building a business, and if there's anything you would suggest she consider there in those early phases.
Yes. So in the early phases, you have to walk a bit of a thin line. I suggest, you don't have to, I suggest this. So the first advice that I would give you is give yourself the gift of starting small. Internet bro culture has told us that every freaking thing needs to be, and sorry y'all, if I happen to cuss, I apologize but I do, I'm an American and sometimes I cuss. But like, you know, internet bro culture, has said to us every daggone thing has to be epic and, you know, sold out and no more seats left. And it's such a load of bollocks. It's just garbage. And it forces us to compete. There's no such thing as competition. But they tell you, you've got to eat your competition's lunch and you've got to crush it. And just all of these words that are just outrageous. And I want to say, would you please give yourself the gift of starting small? Well, what do you mean by that? I'll give you a really good example. One of my clients was putting on a, I guess you could say a bit of a summit. He's in the music industry and he was gathering all of these DJs and producers and all of these people together to talk to people who wanted to work in the music industry about what it's like and answering questions and such. And it was like an online summit, I guess you could say. One of the cool ones, not one of the ones where it's like, hey, you must mail your list 90 times a week. But he said to me, I said, well, how many people do you want to participate? How many registrants do you want? And he says, well, I want 1,000. And I said, you have no idea what the hell you're asking for. You do not want 1,000 people to show up to your first damn summit. That's what you don't want. What you want is about 200 or so people to show up to this summit, because not only was he unfamiliar with the technology that it took to kind of, you know, manage like a Zoom interface and that sort of thing, but he just also wasn't familiar with talking to people and facilitating through technology. And it was new all across the board. And I said, you really need to give yourself the gift of starting small. And literally, I think it was 185 people registered, which was great. And at the end of it, he thanked me. He said, I am so glad that you got that cockamamie goal of 1,000 people out of my head because I would have literally passed out if 1,000 people had showed up. And I was like, I know this. That's why I told you you're crazy. That's not what you want to have happen. I mean, good problem to have, of course, but give yourself that gift. Now he's used to the 185 people. He's got his bearings. He understands the technology. And so he can feel comfortable now, 500 people, 600 people. Okay, now, you know, you've got a little bit of experience under your belt. And just resist this whole thing that tells you if it doesn't sell out, it's not good. If it doesn't sell out, it doesn't resonate. Your work is crap. None of that is true. When and the mark of a CEO, the mark of a pro, is it doesn't matter if 30 people show up, 300 people, or 3 people. You give and deliver the same performance, the same level of professionalism, the same level of heart, the same level of soul. Period, end of story. I remember one time I traveled all the way to Philadelphia, and from where I live, that's like 100 miles. It's like a 2-hour drive, 120 some odd miles. It's a 2-hour drive. And I was assured that 100 people would be in the audience. And I think 4 people showed up or 5 people showed up. I got on that stage and I rocked it as if 150 people were in the audience, because that's what pros do. Now, what I loved about that was I got a chance to really work on, I said to myself, how can I leverage this? Okay, so we got 4 or 5 people here. I rearranged the seating. I stepped into my agency. I rearranged the seating because this is my show, right? Once you tell me take the stage, this is my show, right? Rearranged the seating, got everybody all intimate and cozy, started asking them questions, got them talking to each other, did it like almost like a small group coaching, got to try out some of my new lingo, some of the new stuff that I wanted to start to kind of get out there, some of my new thought leadership, had an opportunity to try some of that stuff out. And it was brilliant and it was beautiful. And it was just what the doctor ordered, because I didn't get into the trap of, oh, there's not 100 people here. Well, then I'm not going to perform. Like, I'm not Britney Spears. I'm going to show up. I'm going to do the job. And that's going to be that. So the first thing is give yourself the gift of starting small. The second thing is, please understand who you are. It's why I do the CEO DNA process with all of my clients, because it figures out who are you as a CEO. It doesn't matter who I am as a CEO. It doesn't matter who Naomi is as a CEO. It matters who are you as a CEO. It matters. It comes into play with your pricing. It comes into play with how you market yourself, the words that you use to describe yourself and what you do. All of those things matter, and you have to know yourself. It matters when you're thinking about, well, do I want to do group coaching versus one-on-one? You know, it matters if you're going to do immersions versus, you know, group coaching. It matters with your service offering. It matters, it matters, it matters. So the thing that you want to really be careful, not be careful, but make sure you're in alignment with is, who are you as a CEO? And bringing that into every single aspect. If you are someone who is highly sensitive and you do not want to work with clients who are like kind of a little bit more extroverted and a little bit more fast paced and don't give you a moment to think. All of my clients know that, like, if I have a moment where I take my glasses off and I'm like doing this, it's either some sort of message coming through or some sort of download. And they have the emotional intelligence to say, okay, Lena's getting a download on my behalf. Let me give her a moment to just tap into that and feel into that, so that what she comes back to me with is for me and is a gem, and not forcing her into. So if there's, you know, if you're someone who needs space to think and feel, if 3 minutes of silence is going to kill a client and make them uncomfortable, that's not the client for you. That's not who you need to be working with, right? So realize who you are as a CEO, and don't make it mean anything other than you, who you are. and bring that into your business, because you don't have to be, you know, if you're just starting out, you know, and this is something that we're going to be doing, my team and I as well, in terms of marketing. If you're just starting out, you may say, my brand of CEO is collected, energetic, and organized, you know, like whatever, you know, my brand of CEO is creative, energetic, and outspoken. Like when you hear those words, you think me, like that's Lena. She's creative. She's got creative solutions for these business problems that annoy the hell out of me. She's energetic. She shows up ready to roll and ready to get on with life and tackle things. And she's outspoken because she's going to completely tell the truth. That doesn't mean that you need to be creative, energetic, and outspoken as a CEO, because you're you. I'm me. So that's the advice that I would have to that question, and I hope that that helps.
That's excellent.
Yeah, there was a question in the chat that I want to double back to as well. Mm-hmm. Going straight for the raw question, what action do you take next when you're considering throwing in the towel? Whoo, yes, I have been there. I'm not getting regular clients, not reaching the impact I want, and not making a dime out of my business. Yet my client feedback is epic. Every coach I've had and course I've taken has confirmed them, celebrated some confirmed. Okay, I love this question. Where's Christina? Christina, hey! Okay, so here's the question. This is where we have to be a bit of a hard grader. This is not blame. This is just, it is what it is. Be a hard grader and deal with it, right? So, Christina, what are you doing to market yourself? Take yourself off mute and tell me. Please. I love how I just order people around. Take yourself off mute and answer me, damn it.
Hey, Lena. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Amazing. What am I doing to market myself? So I'm on the socials, Facebook, Instagram. I've got a small email list. It's about 199 people at the moment.
Right.
All my clients, I get testimonials from. So testimonials are on my website. I use them.
Social proof. Okay.
Content. Mm-hmm. I have done like old school, like direct mail. Like I've got little flyers printed with my services on one side and two of my, you know, most cherished testimonials on the back. Mm-hmm. I've been at wellness festivals, like with a little stall. I guess niche and clients are creatives, and my background is in digital advertising. So I've reached out to a number of the agencies that I used to work for in my advertising days and sort of approached them from a workplace wellness kind of angle to see if I can get in that way, be it with like group coaching with their entire team or to get in one-on-one with their employees. Mm-hmm. I blog, although I haven't been blogging all that much this year, just because I guess a lot of the feelings that I'm having, I've kind of lost a bit of steam.
But understandable.
Particularly last year, I was one of those people that every opportunity I got to write a guest blog, go on a podcast. I got a lot of media last year. I was printed in print magazines, different blogs interviewed me. I was on about 4 different podcasts last year. So I feel like I've been throwing myself out there, like in every little pocket that I can find.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Christina, if I gave you an assignment, would you do it? Oh, wait, did I die out on y'all? Am I back?
You're back now. There was a little lag.
Okay, sorry about that. I don't know. We're having a huge windstorm here. It came in last night, so apologies for that. So, Christina, if I gave you an assignment, would you do it?
Yes.
It'd be easy.
Yes.
Okay.
Here's what I'm not going to say no on a live call.
Here's what I want you to do. Well, you can. You can be like, listen, I don't know. I have to see. What's the assignment? That would be my response as an American New Yorker. I don't know. I have to see. So what I want you to do is for the next 90 days. So let's get some real dates around this. I'm going to the Google and I'm going to type in what's the date 90 days from today. And that date is July 14th. Okay. So in the US, it's July 14th. From now, today, until July 14th, I want you to do a 90-day sprint. And what I want you to do is I want you to do two things in this 90-day sprint. The first thing that I want you to do is I want you to protect your confidence. This is critical right now for where you are. What does that mean? That means no naysayers, no negative Nancys, no pain in the ass Pauls, none of it. Because you can't bear it right now. Like, you're at this tipping point and you can't have one thing encroach on your confidence at this stage of the game. Because it's like put up or shut up time for you, right? Am I right? And so, yeah, and you can't have anything that is going to erode on that on your confidence. Cannot. That means hitting the pause button on all of the friends who are frenemies, if there are any. That means anyone who you know that does not have support, you just stop sharing and you find other places to share and get support, like hello in Gentle Business Mastermind group and from your coaches in Gentle Business Mastermind. That means protecting your confidence at all costs. What it also means is I want you to read your media and your social proof every single day. Every single day. This doesn't mean once every third Thursday when the full moon is up. This means every single day. Because you have to believe that what people are saying is true, and it's not a fluke. And it's not coincidence, and it's not once in a blue moon when you used to be good at what you do. It is not that. You're good at what you do. I'm going to talk to you about why you're experiencing what you're experiencing in a moment, and also why I've chosen 3 months, okay. 90 days.
I really do feel like I'm pretty confident, and I'm pretty...
Read it anyway.
I will, absolutely. Yes. I think yes. That's part of why I'm feeling the way I'm feeling, though, because, like, I believe it. Like, I think I'm pretty shit hot, to be honest.
Right, because you're like WTF, like, is this thing on? Bueller, hello?
Yeah, right? And it just, it kind of blows my mind. I read my social proof, or I speak to an old client. I met a client that I coached over a year and a half ago. I met her last month, and she's still, like, kicking goals. And I'm sitting here, and I'm like, look, this is proof. Like, hello, what's going on? Like,
totally.
Yeah, I've got, I believe it, and I know it deep down, and I am confident in it. And that's almost why I'm so frustrated.
Yes, good. I'm glad to hear that. Elated. Read it every day and keep your confidence at a friggin' 10. Keep it up there because you need it to get through the next 90 days. So that's two things, right? Third thing is, I want you to understand what's happening. Your social media work that you're doing, your email list, your social proof, and your blog. Those are all insulated ways of marketing. So you're always speaking to the same people over and over and over and over and over again. What I want you to do instead is I want you to get out of the bubble that you've created. And I want you to do more of the wellness festivals thing. But I do not want you to do the wellness festival stall. Is there anybody else in your business that you do the wellness festivals with? Like, do you like bring a friend or anything?
Well, my husband came. I've only done one. He came with me.
Okay.
It was kind of just a see how this goes thing. And it wasn't quite the right fit. So I'm sensing where you're going with it, but yeah.
Cool. If you do go, I don't want you stuck behind a stall.
Yeah.
See, the thing that they tell you is the glamour is, oh yeah, I'm going to be a vendor and it's sexy to be a vendor and it's on the, you know, this. And I am saying, honey, you need to be at that event, walking around, shaking hands and kissing babies and pressing flesh. You need to be hugging people. You need to be introducing yourself and meeting people and being curious about what other people do. That's how business happens. That's how you drum up. Think of it like this. Anything that you can do to drum up energy, right? So you want to create a tornado. You want to create some energy. Get the energy moving outside of the bubble. I want you to be a guest on podcasts. Get out there. find some podcasts. I don't even care if they're a fit right now. I just want you out there talking, drumming up the energy, drum up the energy, right? I want the speaking engagements. If you're going to go to those wellness festivals and they ask you to do a stall, then I want you to have the courage to ask them, does this come with a speaking opportunity? Because if you want me to pay for a stall, yeah, I'd like to be on stage, please, and thank you.
Yeah. The one that I just did, I had a talk as well. So, yeah.
Love it. Yeah. Love it. Now, for those of you who are like, Lena, I thought you said you were an introvert. I am not getting on anybody's damn stage. I got something for you too. You can either do the podcast thing, which allows you to do it from the comfort of your own home and your own office, or you can write. That means going to Medium or Elephant Journal or Mind Body Green or wherever your people read and collect and collaborate. You want to see, how do I write for this outlet? It could be a magazine. It could be anything. You want to figure out, how do you write for them? Because what I want you to do, Christina, is in addition to maintaining the relationship that you have with the people on social and blog and such, maintaining those channels, I want you also to go outside, because all of your marketing right now is internal to your orbit. And I want you to go outside your orbit, and I want you to use what I call OPI, other people's influence. You've heard of other people's money, OPM, other people's influence. I want you to go out and use other people's influence. Now, this is going to sound kind of crappy because it's like, wait, I'm using other people for their influence. No, you're providing a quality service or deliverable. Either it's an article or you're a guest on their podcast or you make a quick video for their audience. Do some Instagram takeovers. I don't know if this is allowed in Gentle Business Mastermind. So if I suggest anything that's not allowed, don't listen to me because I'm not the boss. But if you go into Instagram and say, who wants to do Instagram takeovers? You can do a takeover on my Instagram for the day and I'll do a takeover on your Instagram for the day. The point is to get creative and get out of your own orbit. And I want you to do that for 90 days. Every single day, I want you to make an ask somewhere. To do something. Podcast, write an article, speak at a shindig, go to someone's house, write to someone, anything like that. I want you to make an ask for 90 days. The reason I am saying to you 90 days is because it takes 3 months for us to see the results of any of our efforts. And most people don't wait long enough. You know, that little axiom that, you know, you're 6 inches from your goal and that's when you stop digging, you know? Why? Because people don't wait and don't give it time to gel. I always tell my clients, if you don't like where you are right now in your business, I want you to ask yourself, where were you 90 days ago? What were you doing 3 months ago? Were you on your marketing game, or were you doing something else, or were you distracted with family, or were you scared to market and pitch yourself? Whatever you were doing 90 days ago, that is what is impacting you right now. Am I right, Christina?
Yeah, it's funny I'm you right. say that, because 3 months ago is probably when I went, oh, this isn't working, kind of drop it. But if I honestly then go 90 days before that, I was doing everything you've just told me to do.
Yes. So
it's almost like I've been looking at it like, oh, I've already done all that and it hasn't worked, rather than you have done it all, but you quit before you reaped the benefits.
Absolutely. And you quit before you could be consistent.
Mm-hmm. All right.
High Back five, Christina, damn it.
Thank you. High five.
Love it. All right. So you're good to go, Christina, right?
Yes. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Okay. So I see the chat's rolling. All right. Ellen says, you're right. We're sold this idea. If it's not thousands, we're not playing big enough. It is rubbish. It is such garbage. I can't stand it. It drives me insane. Booked a huge venue, wanted 80 people, ended up changing the venue and got 30 people. Yes. Love that. Way to go, Christina. High five again. Did my first ever workshop last year with 3 women. Yes, perfect, intimate. Reached each of those girls deeply. It was right for us. Sound perfect. Yes, yes, yes. Such wonderful advice. Okay. Podcaster, is this a question?
No, I think, Ellen's talking about the podcasting. Yeah, pitching yourself.
Oh, it's just about pitching yourself. It's worth it. It's valuable to them as well as to you. Because here's the thing. If you're a podcaster, you kind of need guests. Like, if that's the format, you need guests. Elephant Journal, where would Medium be if people just stopped submitting articles? Like, what would happen to Medium if people just were like, you know what? I don't think I'm good enough to post on Medium, or I don't think I'm good enough to pitch Mind Body Green. What would have happened to any of those outlets if people just decided, you know what? I'm not going to play this game. I'm not going to pitch them. I'm not going to write articles for them. I used to write for Entrepreneur, Fast Company, and American Express Open Forum all at the same time. I was juggling clients and painting fences and writing articles and speaking at conferences. I was doing all the things. And I am not suggesting that you all need to do all the things. I am saying be consistent with the things that you do. And blogging doesn't get it, and social media doesn't get it, because unless it's things like Instagram takeovers, because it's keeping you still in your own bubble, in your own comfort zone with people who already know you. And here's the reality. I'm going to keep it like 100% real with you all today, as I always do. If they were going to buy, they would have bought already. Like, let's get some new people in here. Let's get some new energy into here. Let's invite some new folks into our orbit. Let's play a different game with some new folks. That's what I'm saying. And here's what I've noticed. The minute you decide to get out of your bubble and out of your orbit and get into another orbit and bring people from that orbit into your orbit and you into theirs, the people who are in your orbit, now they start to pay attention. Now they want to work with you. Now they're saying, oh, Christina, I see you here. I see you there. Oh, you must be. You told me you were hot shit, but wow, you must really be it. Okay, I'm going to believe that now, because now I see you here and here and here and here and here. And it's like people would email me and they'd say, well, you're everywhere. Well, I'm not everywhere, but I'm doing a daggone good job of marketing myself and being consistent. And that's the ticket.
We'll have a post coming out on, I think, Friday in the group that you all might want to think about, where we'll be inviting you to share where you're wanting to be featured at the moment and the topics you want to be featured on at the moment, and vice versa if you're looking for people to feature on your podcasts or your blogs. So I know that's still within the GBM orbit, but there will be hopefully some ideas there where you can help each other out with some of this. And we're going to have that post coming out monthly, once a month. So keep that in your mind as well, moving forward.
And it's within the GBM orbit, but you've got built-in support. Mm. And it exposes you to, if you're on the next GBMers podcast, it exposes you to their audience. If they're on your podcast, they're exposed to your audience. It's brilliant. Mm.
Yay.
Keep
those questions coming. We're running out of time. I might look at the pre-submitted questions. Okay. So the first one that I have here, Lena, is someone listened to the previous call where you were talking about the CEO DNA and you focused on the archetypes test and part of that. They've said it's really inspiring, especially love the message about fully embracing your type and your way of doing things. So she is 63% creative, 19% caregiver, 18% spiritual.
Okay, 63% caregiver,
63 creative.
63 creative, okay. Yeah.
And then 19 caregiver.
Caregiver. Okay. I got to see it in front of me. Okay.
And 18 spiritual.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So she said it's funny because she was recently wondering why it is that she regularly feels frustrated and tired when she's with a lot of people. And after listening to the call and seeing the percentages, she thinks she's got an answer. When she's with people, she feels she goes into the caregiver state and out of her creative state. So when being with people, she tends to shift into what she feels is the wrong balance. And she wonders whether you have any thoughts or advice on how to stay in balance that fits with her when being in situations which she may have learned, where she may have learned not to fully embrace her type.
That's such a good question. And this is something that we all do. You know, we hear it phrased as different things, but it's all the same thing, right? So this is what happens to you when you're around your mom or your dad and they say something and you really don't agree with it and you just kind of go, and you don't say, no, that's actually not what I believe. I think something different, right? Or this is what happens when they say we lose ourselves in a relationship, either a friendship or a romantic relationship. We become subsumed by that other person. This is something that happens particularly to sensitives because that person's energy, if you haven't learned how to hold your own space, as a sensitive, I've learned how to hold my own space because I've had to, because I was born and raised in New York. And if you don't hold your own space in New York, they will eat you up and spit you out. You know, like it's par for the course geographically. And I also grew up where I was one of 32 grandchildren. And so if you didn't speak up, you literally didn't eat. I mean, it was 32 of us vying for food at my grandmother's heels. So, but not everyone has that, you know, nature, nurture experience. And so the first line of defense, so to speak, is to learn how to hold your own energetically. That doesn't mean that you have to say anything. It just means that you have to not be subsumed by their energy. Your energy doesn't get eaten by their energy. I would highly recommend that this person go to figure out their human design type as well, because there's a website called Jovian, J-O-V-I-N, Jovian Archive. That's the one that I use for the human design for my CEO DNA process with my clients. Figure out what your inner guide is. So you'll be able to tell from your human design results, it'll say it. But mine is, it's your inner definition. Mine is the sacral chakra, right? So every day I get up, I listen to some sort of sacral chakra meditation. I listen to it on YouTube. It takes about 5 minutes. I used to sit down and just devote my entire attention to it and get real still and quiet because that inner definition is the thing that is, if you work on it and you make it strong. And it doesn't change, by the way, that inner definition does not change. It stays the same because it's based on your date of birth and your location and your time of birth. So it doesn't change. You just get better at mastering and what we call staying in your strategy in human design. So I would recommend that this person go to the Jovian Archive and look up their human design chart, figure out what their inner authority, that's what it's called, the inner authority. Figure out what your inner authority is, which chakra it is, which energy center it is. Jovian does not call them chakras, it calls them energy centers. Mine is the solar plexus. So if you're a generator, it's probably going to be, I'm sorry, the sacral chakra, not solar plexus. I pointed at my solar plexus and I meant to say sacral. Mine is sacral. If you're a generator, it's probably going to be sacral. And that's where you listen to your meditation. I listen to every single day. Again, I used to just sit down and focus on it. And now I do it while I'm making my bed and getting my room organized and kind of getting my thoughts together. I will listen to it. Go to YouTube and literally type in, once you know what your inner authority is, type in sacral chakra meditation short or solar plexus chakra meditation short. And you will come up with 5-7 minute videos that you can listen to and watch every single day. And that will get you into your energy. This thing is less about tactics, what this person is describing, and more about managing your energy and not allowing your energy to be eaten up by someone else's energy stream. I don't know about some of you, but I literally am so sensitive that on the first day of my cycle, I cannot go out and be at a mall or with around other people. And so I have to literally plan my life and my shopping. Like, my idea of personal hell is having to travel and or be like on a plane or a train the first day of my cycle. Like, kill me now. Like, it's a wrap. It's just, I would have to wear a hoodie and like shades and like really insulate myself and create a personal, you know, bubble in order to really be able to navigate that. I've done it before and it's resulted in headaches and all sorts of things. So for this person, I would say, learn how to manage your energy. And the fastest way to figure out, well, what does that mean and how do I do that, is to figure out what is your inner authority and work with that specific energy center to strengthen it and do it every single day. And you'll start to notice a difference. You'll start to notice that you won't go into caregiver mode, because caregiver and spiritual, it's so similar in terms of how they manifest in our daily lives as human beings. And as spiritual beings having this human experience, caregiver and spiritual is very similar. And so there's a lot of that going on. And then the creative energy, there's a lot of, if this was a astrological chart, there'd be a lot of air energy. And I would want this person to ground themselves a little bit more. And they'll start to notice a difference in how they're showing up with other people.
Wonderful. I see we've got a couple in the chat there too, Lena.
Yeah. Thank you, Christina. I would love to stay here all day. And I know like everyone says that, but this is like my joy. I seriously dig this type of stuff. Okay. So I have another question about managing energy while juggling multiple hats. Ooh, yes. Two different businesses or a job and an outside business. Okay. So let's hear it, Ellen. What's the question?
Sorry, it took me a while to find my unmute. Hi.
It's all good. Hey.
Hi. So I have two separate businesses, and I know there's lots of people in the Gender Fixes Mastermind who are still in jobs and like trying to build their business on the side. And I just know that it's like two totally different headspaces. And certainly I have found that to be a challenge when, you know, there's demands from both in, you know, the same week sort of thing. And switching between them is really hard. So I tend to try and go, all right, well, this day is for this business and that day is for that business. So I can just like at least keep my head straight. It's not always possible. And especially I think if you're in a job still, I remember being there and it's like, I've got my 9 to 5 and then the only time I've got to work on this is after dinner for an hour. What are your recommendations about that? Because it doesn't always feel gentle.
Yes, there is that. So the thing that I would say is, and I know, like you said, it doesn't always work out like this, but to the extent that you can continue to, you know, make an effort to do so, is instead of thinking of it as juggling, I want you to think of it as focus times. 'Cause juggle implies, oh my God, what am I going to do? I don't know what I'm doing next. Like, juggle implies some type of circus nonsense, right? And what I want you to do is like have some clear lines of demarcation, and those might hurt, especially other people. Probably not going to hurt you, but probably going to be hurting other people. One of the things that I learned, and I'm so glad that I learned this very early on from my mentor, is often the price of clarity is insult.
Ooh, that's good.
When I heard it, I was like, I need to sit down with this for at least 15 minutes, because I thought, oh, so you mean the clearer I get, the more insulted people might get. Do not underestimate this. There is a book written by a former client, Jane Pollack. I love Jane. P-O-L-L-A-K, no C. And it is called Soul Proprietor, S-O-U-L, Soul Proprietor. And in the book, she details an account of going to a retreat. She went to a retreat and she was really excited to be there, and she was in her energy and she was amped and all of the good stuff. And she had a roommate, and she woke up and the next morning, and she said to her roommate, well, I'm going to do this today, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. And she kind of outlined her and was sharing her day. And her roommate kind of gave her a little shade and attitude about it. Like, you know, well, aren't you, Miss, you know, perfectly ready to go or whatever. And, you know, Jane was like, wow, you know, did I say something to offend her? Is there something I did? And she kind of let it go. And when she came back later that day, after doing all the fabulous things that she had decided she was going to do, that roommate said to her, listen, I really need to apologize to you. I was really nasty to you earlier. And it just seemed like you had your day figured out and I didn't know anything about what I wanted to do. So haterade, right? Like, that person was a hater because they didn't have their act together and they didn't know what they wanted to do. They were mad at her because she did know what she was going to do. So I will say, as you shift from juggling to focus, some folks are going to get offended. Mm-hmm. Prepare yourself for it. Has nothing to do with you and everything to do with them. What I mean by focus is this. There are times for X activities and there are time for Y activities and there's time for Z or Z activities, right? There's times that you do these things, and when you are doing X, you don't deal with Y. You just do not deal with why, unless it's a sick child vomiting on your shoes. But like, you just don't deal with why at all. You say, this is a task that is for why time. I'm going to write it on a sticky post-it note, whatever your system is, and I'm going to put it in the why pile. And when I get to my why time, I'm going to deal with why stuff. I am in X mode right now. It took me forever to train my family about this. Forever. To this day, like, my mom will still call. And I'm like, seriously? Do you not know that these are office hours? Like, what's going on here? You know? And it's not that I don't want to hear from my mom, but I am in X mode. I am in client mode. And you are asking me to be in family mode. I cannot do that. And you're forcing me to do... As Todd Herman says, you're forcing me to context switch. You're forcing me, by virtue of this phone call, to switch into Y mode to tend to you and your needs when there's nothing urgent happening and nothing really going on, and get into and leave X mode, where I need to be in X mode because my clients pay me to be in X mode. Stop it. Don't do it. And so you have to set those. Don't do the juggle. Don't even allow yourself to do the juggle. If you're in X mode, do X mode. And if someone gets an attitude because you say, listen, I'm really focused on this right now. I'm going to make a note of this. And can I get back to you in 24 hours? Or can I get back to you in a couple of hours or wherever your time blocks happen to be? I want you to just notice it. No need to respond and no need to change your plans. Just because they have an attitude means zero. Zero. That's their problem. People say, oh, well, you know, I really didn't like, well, that sounds like a you problem. That's not a me problem. And it's not that I don't care about people's feelings, but like, if you're going to have an attitude because I'm saying, I can't focus on this right now because I need to finish this email to my client or finish this Loom video or whatever it is, we can't have the relationship I thought we could. Mm. Like, thank you for letting me.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the first thing. Don't juggle. Mm-hmm. And also, give yourself grace. We are told by the patriarchy that if we are not all things, we are nothing. Mm-hmm. And that is a load of garbage. It is garbage. It is a myth that has perpetuated for centuries, and I am so over it. And we still feel this way. So here's an example. Even me, like 15 years in, still, yeah, what's going on with me, right? Yesterday, so on my husband's job, he works 12 hours for 3 days. So he works Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 12 hours a day. And then he doesn't work the rest of the week. And we love this because I get to have my weekends to myself. Hallelujah. And then during the week I only work every other week, right, with my clients. So during the week, I do every other week. And so during those weeks, when I don't have client calls, it's like him and me, and we can go to the supermarket. There's no crowds. It's fabulous, right? So yesterday he worked, and today he's going to visit his mom, and he's at the airport, and he's actually delayed at the airport. And I'm like, I am in my X time now. I cannot help you deal with your Y flight stuff. So last night he gets off of work and he says, and now I had asked him days before, I said, what are your plans for dinner? So he says, well, you know, days before, he says, oh, I don't know. He gives me some vague ass answer. Okay, Mr. Vague. Cool. No worries. Last night, he gets off at 7:30. Last night around 6, I hear from him. He's like, oh, you know, I kind of want some food. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to do Uber Eats. You know why? Because it's Sunday and I deserve a break. And I work all week. I work all week. I run a business, right? I also manage this entire house, right? I also take care of my parents, like in whatever they're doing and whatever's going on. Right now there's construction happening in my parents' bathroom, which I'm managing. I'm doing all the things and I am one person. You're damn right I'm gonna order Uber Eats. And do you know, for one moment I felt bad about it? I felt bad about, or because I'm thinking I should just go whip up and saute some curry vegetables. Am I crazy? Like, what am I thinking? I am not going to whip up and saute anybody's vegetables. We're going to order this takeaway, and you're going to be glad about it, and you're going to love it. And he did, and it was great. But if we're not doing all the things, it means like, and I had to take stock for a minute. Like, I am doing all the things. I am there for everyone. I have a huge spiritual family as well that people count on me. Like, I'm kind of the coordinator, organizer on the spiritual front as well. So it's very much like I am doing all the things, and here I am thinking that I'm going to whip up some curried sauteed vegetables at 7:30 from somebody that I asked 3 days ago what you were going to do for dinner and didn't have an answer. Because I think that's what I should do. No way. So I want you to give yourself a little bit of grace. And if you have to remind yourself, these are all the hats that I wear. These are all the things that I have to focus on every single week, every single day. If you can remind yourself of that when it comes time to refocus and when it comes time to have a clear line of demarcation, you're going to be able to give yourself the grace that you need. And the other thing is, if you do find yourself having to really shift focus across a lot of things, it might be time for you to let some things go or even delegate.
Yeah, get help. Yeah.
You know, like get some support, delegate, or, you know, like even what I found myself doing when my nephews were little is I was like, wait a minute. Each of these tiny humans, they have two hands apiece. I have two hands. Why am I cleaning up the toys? I don't play with Legos and G.I. Joe. How about y'all get in here and clean this crap up? And then that way I can make dinner. But what I can't do is clean the toys and make dinner. So if you'd like to eat before you go to bed in here, you're going to want to clean these toys up because you're going to have PB&J or the toys get picked up. You pick. Like, you cannot have it all the ways. And we have people like Gary Vaynerchuk, and I've told Gary this to his face many years ago. Gary, you can do what you can do because you have a wife, homeboy.
That's right.
You can respond to all of your tweets because you have a wife, you have a partner, you have someone who's picking up the slack on all the other hats. Mm-hmm. You also have a team of, what is the last count? 200 people working for you. Like, let us not underestimate that. So patriarchy tells us that we are all things or we are nothing. And I am like, to hell with that. I am right now managing 4 existences, and that's about all I can do. And anyone that requires me or asks me to do more than that, unless it's a dire emergency, is probably going to get cursed out. And having those clear lines of demarcation and knowing that you get to set that, and it's okay, because it doesn't determine your worth or your value. And if people can't manage their lives, that's not on you, that's on them. Lack of preparation on their part does not constitute an emergency on your part. Mm. Ya basta.
Mm. That was really good, thank you.
Yes, the families are the biggest boundary pushers. Does that kind of support you a little bit, Ellen? You're good?
Yeah, well, I really particularly think that thing about clarity sometimes means people get insulted. That really hit home for me, because there's some difficult conversations I have to have with people who have lack of preparation, like people, clients who have lack of preparation, and then yeah. So yeah, there's some.
Have you seen my autoresponder lately?
No, I haven't. I'll email
Please me. Email me. Please email me, and you'll get it, because you haven't emailed me in 4 days. And it goes in cycles of 4 days. Email me and you'll get it. And please feel free to like use it as a template, because you cannot do it. Mm-hmm. I cannot be. And then the people who want you to do the family stuff, they want you to be at 100% when you're doing the family stuff. The clients want you to be at 100%. They're paying you to be at 100%. And then your friends want you to be at 100%. And then you want to be at 100% because you really love to enjoy this book that you took out from the library 2 weeks ago that you haven't had a chance to even look at and crack the cover on. Hello, please. Like, you want to be 100% for you, and everybody wants 100%. And you're like, I am one person and everybody wants 100%.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. And if someone wants to get an attitude, let them trust the divine timing of their lives and they will figure it out. Mm. Or they won't. And either way, it has nothing to do with you. But I trust people on their journeys.
Mm. Yeah. That's good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Gosh, I love all your simple, smart reframes. I love it. Thank you so much. Thank you. Yes, and family, they are boundary pushers extraordinaire. And because we have that mentality of, these are my people, I need to respond to them. Seriously, I think I shared this in one of my Crescent calls recently. I used to have this, I don't know if it's a phobia, it's probably some type of anxiety. But I used to have this thing where if I didn't respond to my mom right away, I would think, what if she dies in between now and me responding to her? Seriously, like it was a thing. What if she dies between me responding to her, not responding to her, and the time that she left the voicemail message and she was really reaching out to me to say last words? Yeah, all this stuff up here, that is not logical. And I really, and that was my stuff that I had to deal with, you know? And then once I dealt with my anxiety around that, like, she's kind of not gonna die because of a lack of a response from you. How self-important are you, Lena? And furthermore, she can wait for you to get back to her and it's all good. And if it was an emergency, more than one person would have called you. Like, problem solved. So yeah, so that's that. Don't let the family be the boundary pushers. Lack of organization, exactly. Here's the thing, I love this. Thank you so much, Natasha, for posting this. I have clients who stress me out. No, you let them stress you out. Be clear. No, outside of a violent crime, no one can do to you what you don't allow. You let them stress you out. And so you've got to figure out, how do I not allow them to stress you out? I, as much as I'm really good at confrontation, I don't like telling people I love no. I'm a people pleaser, I'm on my way, I'm changing my ways every single day. But I have learned how to say no. And so my first thing is, I set up an autoresponder. Every single one of my clients, I love these people. You have no idea. Like, I just love them. I want to give them everything. I'm working on like having a private jet so that I can fly them around the world to different locations. Like, I just love my clients that much. Literally love them. I stopped what I'm doing for them and I had to kind of pull back a little bit on that. And so I created an autoresponder And it's very, if you email lena@lenawest.com, you'll get it. And it's very much a nice way of saying, I need a minute to get back to you. If you're a client, I love you, and here's what you can expect. Because I do value the fact that you reached out to me, but I need a moment to get back to you. And that's that. And then I try not to go online on Saturdays and Sundays. I'm not great at that, but I try. And I give myself the gift of grace when I don't. And I start again next weekend.
Thank you, Lena. We're gone over time. How are you
doing? I'm so sorry.
No, it's not your fault. I'm just worried about you. It's getting late.
Oh, no, I'm fine. Okay? Husband is stuck at the airport.
I have two more pre-submitted. Did you want to go there? Yeah, okay. So the first one.
I'm game. You guys tell me. I'm here.
Okay. Thank you. So this next one's about the Kolbe test. She's given her results. Do you want me to tell you those?
Let me jot it down so I know. Okay.
Okay. So her result was 8, 6, 4, 3. And then she tells me, she'll say the strengths for each section in a minute. So 8, 6, 4, 3.
4, and then, hold on 1 second. So follow through is a 3, fact finder is an 8.
So she said strategize for fact finder. Will this help telling you? So strategize for fact finder, maintain for follow through, modify for quick start, and envision for implementer. And then,
okay. Hold on, mentor, envision.
So we'll share a link with you all for that.
Quick start is a 4, but what was it?
Quick start modify.
Modify.
Yeah.
And there's a 6 for follow through.
Follow through is maintain.
Maintain.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the question? Got it.
Okay, so overall it confirmed a tendency I already knew, which is that I'm good on the data, gathering, research, exploration, visioning phase of the piece of work or project, but less good on the implementation action side. I understand Kolbe recommends working to your strengths, but my question dilemma is, how do I motivate myself to get into the action, writing, implementation mode in projects when my instinct is to stay in the exploration mode for too long? And as a result, I often compromise my progress and am too slow getting projects finished. Perfectionism, attention to detail doesn't help either. So she's mentioned she's a coach, trainer, facilitator, researcher. So she does a lot of research projects and evaluations and things like that with nonprofits.
That's that fact finder 8 research, absolutely.
Mm. She's a caregiver primarily on the archetypes and type 9 Enneagram. Yeah.
Okay, so she's a caregiver. Oh boy. Okay. Did she give you percentage of caregiver?
No.
Okay. All right.
Might have it here though while you're talking. I'll look it up.
Here's what I'm going to say for this. And this is what I mean when I say you've got to figure out what kind of CEO you are. I myself am not a finisher. If you leave it up to me to finish things, nothing will get done. Seriously. So I have to surround myself with finishers, which is why I have all of my team and everyone around me take the Kolbe, because I need to know, are you a finisher or are you another person who's going to bring more ideas in? I don't need no more ideas. I'm good on the ideas. Ya basta with the ideas, right? I need someone who's going to help me to finish. And so for me, I look at my Kolbe, and I want to have someone with the reverse scores as me. So where my scores are high, I want their scores to be quote unquote lower, the numbers to be lower. And where my numbers are lower, I want their numbers to be higher, simply because I don't want to hire myself. The mistake that we make is we hire ourselves. And I am saying, whether it's a VA part-time, only doing a couple of hours a week, doesn't matter. The point is we don't want to hire ourselves. So you want to surround yourself with people who are finishers. There are all sorts of ways to do this. You can get an accountability buddy. If you don't have the money for a VA and you're like, listen, Lena, I just don't have the budget for a VA right now, you can hire an accountability buddy and you can say, listen, I need to get this project written and done, so I need you to send me an email and ask me for it. I don't know about y'all, but if I know that someone is waiting for something from me, you better darn tootin' believe that I'm going to have it to them, because now we're talking about my reputation is at stake and I shan't have it. Like, I will not have my reputation be marred by not delivering it on time, right? So you have to build in whatever systems you need to build in. I used to be ashamed of this. And one of my clients who really got me started with assessments and DISC and Colby, she said to me, she said, Lena, why do you care that you're externally motivated? Like, why do you care? You figured out your secret sauce. You figured out that you need someone else to be there waiting or asking for something for you to deliver. So just create the scenario that allows you to deliver. Set yourself up for success and forget about the judgment of it all. And I was like, yeah, how do I care? You know, it doesn't matter. And so this person has got to give themselves the opportunity of external accountability on anything that's important for them to get done, period, end of story. Because beating yourself up for not being a finisher is not the move, honey. It's just not. It's not going to help you. It is not supportive. It is not going to get you to the next level. And it's never going to make you a finisher. You're, after all the beating up, you're still not a finisher. So like, where are we even going with this, right? So stop trying to be a finisher and instead create your environment so that you can finish and support yourself to finish. And have the your environment carry the weight or put the responsibility on the environment that you've created so that you can deliver and be a finisher. That's what I would suggest for this person. I would also suggest to find out what their inner authority is with the human design and really work on managing their energy and staying grounded in their energy with their inner authority, because that's going to help a lot, because there's a little caregiver little stuff happening there. And I just want to make sure that this person does not put their needs second, third, fifth, ninth, 21st with the needs of others and the demands of other people and the demands of the world. So that's my advice for that person.
Thanks, Lena.
Yay! So
the other question was around tests. Ooh. As well. So some of the ones that we've mentioned, and then more generally, so a lot of us have been doing lots of different tests, right, to get clearer on who we are. Right. And how we can show up in our business.
And love it.
She was saying that when she does these tests, she's noticed that she can sometimes get different results, and not just over a long period of time, but even close together when she will complete them sometimes. And so she was curious about, for some of them, around the research behind some of them, but she was also curious around, like, what could that mean? Like, do you have anything to say around when you're getting different results on like the archetypes test, or, you know, on some of the strength finder tests and things like that?
What came up for me immediately. So for those of you, how this works for me, how my gift works is, the more someone talks about something, the information that I am to extract comes through the speaking. Like it comes through. That's why when I have that first session with my clients, I know exactly what their business model is, because as they talk about their business, the answer comes through the energy in their voice. That's the only way I can explain it. What came up for me as you were talking about this person, and I could be wrong, and I'm always willing to be wrong. I feel like this person has either in the past or even currently is not allowed to be who they are. And so it's very much, they don't know who they are, or they know who they are, or they're scared to be who they are. I feel like there's some sort of identity challenge happening there that makes them kind of shift modes and ways of being in a way that they're not allowed to be consistent. So maybe that's, I have to be one way at this job, and then I come home and I'm like bohemian and my hair is loose and I've got on all my beaded jewelry. And then when I go to work, I've got to be straight laced and a little tight and a little corporate. I feel like there's a little bit of identity shifting happening there. It doesn't have to be work. It could be in the family, right? It could be, listen, I am very liberal and accepting, and my family is very much with patriarchal roles and things like that. So I have a feeling that this person has some type of challenge in that way, where they're not ever really allowed to be 100% fully themselves. Sometimes it happens in a partnership. I've seen this happen in romantic relationships as well, where the partner has one set of beliefs and then you have your set of beliefs, and then it ends up being like they're a little overbearing with what they believe and what they think. And so you never really get to express or say your viewpoint. Sometimes it can be in a familial relationship with a sibling, where one sibling just barks at you constantly and is always saying and talking at you. And so you never really feel the opportunity to speak your piece or say your piece or speak about what you believe. So I would say, look into that. If I'm wrong about that, I would then look to that own person's agency. So if it's not an external thing, then I would look inward and I would say, do they feel comfortable being who they are truly? That is the question that I would ask. And also it all depends on, you know, because Colby is pretty tried and true. You know, I've taken the Colby years apart and I've gotten maybe a point or two difference, but not by much. It depends on the assessment. You know, a quiz that you take with a Facebook quiz app is going to be completely different than something like Fascination with Sally Hogshead or Colby or Human Design, which doesn't change at all. So I would, you know, look at also the actual tests themselves and see how scientific they are. But the two first areas I would check is their orbit and are they free to be themselves with their people? And if it's not in their orbit, if the pressure isn't coming from external, then are they free to be themselves with themselves? You know, it took me a very long time to own that I am sensitive, and I have had to make some very hard rules. Like, I'm extremely, extremely sensitive to animals, especially dogs. I cannot even watch ASPCA commercials. I cannot, like, I will end up in absolute tears and I am just broken for days on end if I watch stuff like that. I cannot see it. I cannot expose myself to it. So my husband, we have a no news policy, but sometimes he watches the news or he says it ends up on the TV, whatever. And he'll tell me about something that is on the news or whatever, and I'll have to stop him and I'll say, please, don't tell me. I can't hear that. And he used to, you know, well, I'm just going to tell you this. No, you don't get to decide that. I've said, I don't want to hear any part of it. Let's just change the subject, because I know where I end up energetically at the end of that. Like, you're not going to be up for nights wondering, is that dog taken care of? I wonder what happened. That's not you. That's going to be me. And so, because I've got to manage me and my energy, I cannot have it and I cannot hear it. And so, sometimes these lines of demarcation are really hard for us, but you really have to, nope, I've said, I don't want to hear that and I'm not interested in hearing that. And you have to do that. And I would ask, I would wonder if this person has the latitude to be in their agency in that way, in their relationships and with themselves.
Cool. Thanks, Lena.
Yeah.
Before we close out, what's happening with you? What's going on with you? If people want to connect with you or want to do work with you, what is happening? I know you have, it might be a bit early. I don't know. Is it too early to tell them about your CEO clinics that are coming up? Or
it's actually not early. It's not. I mentioned early on that I had this post back in July of 2018 where I was like, enough of this internet bro garbage. And it went like wildfire, hundreds of comments, hundreds of likes, shares in the double digits. It was absolutely amazing. It was then that I realized that my business, the way my business was structured, was part of the problem. And I went on to outline that in a second post about, wow, like I didn't realize that I was part of the problem. And the way my business was structured was such that my expertise was behind a very high price point. And so I realized that my expertise was not available. And yet here I was saying, the reason that this whole online business world is broken is because there's not enough voices that are accessible. And I was like, and your voice is one of them. I mean, I don't have a newsletter. I don't have a podcast. If you don't follow me on social media, and I don't even post often on social media, I was like, well, I'm not really helping here. No one can really hear my voice unless they ask me to come and speak on something like Gentle Business Mastermind or whatever. And so I thought, well, I don't want to be part of the problem and I've got to change that. And I decided that in addition to changing my business model and making my services more affordable and more my price points more accessible, I'm also going to host CEO clinics where it's all about us getting together. For those of us who remember the internet and the glory days where you could just get on a telecall or a webinar and you could ask a question and you could get an answer and there was no pitch. And there was no upsell, and there was no this. And it wasn't that every webinar had to end in an upsell and a cross sell and a down sell and a hell sell. Enough. And so I thought, I am going to do CEO clinics where there's no pitch, there's no upsell, there's no cross sell, there's no down sell, there's no hell sell. It's just me providing a service and answering questions to the best of my ability. And that's what the CEO clinics are. And they start next month. And if you go to lenawest.com and you sign up for the list, you will be notified. And they're free to participate. Come as you are. And I would love it. I would love to see your faces there. And I'd love for you to spread the word as soon as they start.
And ask all those questions we didn't get to because there's so many we could ask you.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
And it's going to take a while for people to get used to. They're going to be like, okay, so what's she selling? Nothing.
That's awesome. Is there anything else before we close out, Lena, that you feel you want to say, or there's anything that we didn't cover that you would like to share?
Yes. I want to first of all thank the creators of Gentle Business Mastermind. I really appreciate you asking me not once but twice to be here. Thank you so much. I'm a deep gratitude to you, deep bow to you. I'm very appreciative and very grateful. I would also like to thank you for the participants for being here and taking the time out of your schedule to be here and to be open to what I have to say and my input and my experience. And I also want to congratulate you for showing up for yourselves, for doing Gentle Business Mastermind, when everything in the world tells us not to put ourselves first, when everything in the world tells us you don't need this or you don't have the money or you can't do this right now, you said yes. And for that, I think you are the bomb. And so that's what I have to say.
Mic drop. Thank you, Lena. And thank you for saying yes and coming back. I'm worried.
I will always come back.
You're not going to get me inviting you to things. Now you all can see why I'm always inviting her to all the things and asking her to come back all the time. But thank you. Thank you so much for sharing all of that with us. And thank you all for coming up and asking the questions. I didn't end up having to ask any of mine. So thank you for shaping for shaping that call. I'll just have to save mine for a coaching call, Lena.
There you go.
And thanks to those who are listening back to the recording too, and who sent through the pre-submitted questions.
Thank you all. I love all of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And enjoy the rest of your night.
I will.
And
I'm gonna
Abby gets back safely.
Right now I'm binging. Oh no, he's not back for a week, so I'm binging Death in Paradise.
I don't even know what that is, but something else to Google afterwards.
Yes, Google it. It's a really cool show.
Awesome. Thank you, Lena. Thank you, everyone. Have a great
day. All right, everyone. Bye.
Thanks, everyone. Bye. Thanks, Lena. Cheers.
Bye. Bye.